how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." It's God's word for God's people. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. You know, as I read that, it reminded me I heard recently that there's a synagogue where, based upon your level of giving, it determines on where you get to sit in the church. So for the people that give more, they get to sit in front, right? And I said, well, if we implemented that here, we'd have to reverse it. The people that give more get to sit in the back, because that seems to be the desirable seats here in the church. But it is a story and a parable about hospitality. I'm pretty excited about something, and I wanted to share that with you today. I announced it last week, and there's actually a write-up in your bulletin about it. But we're going to be beginning a new program here at Trinity. And it's a before and after school care program that's being offered by the Child Development and Family Council of Center County. And they're going to be opening this school downstairs, before and after school care. They'll be here tomorrow morning at probably 6:15 or 6:30. And they'll go until around 8. And then in the afternoon, they will be back around 2:30 and go until 6. And they'll be doing that throughout the school year. Now, there are a few reasons why I'm excited by this. But I think the biggest reason is that there's going to be, at last count, 19 children and approximately 14 or 15 families that will know, if they didn't already, that there is a church sitting on the corner of Pennsylvania Avenue and Ridge Street. And it's not just any church. I'm biased, but I think it's the prettiest church in town. But it's also a church with a loving family, a loving church family that is willing to extend hospitality to people in our community and perhaps help make their daily lives a bit easier. Well, I'm very proud of Trinity for agreeing to open our doors for these folks. And of course, it doesn't come without risk. Anything that you do in life comes with a certain amount of risk. And while these students will be closely supervised, there's always the risk of something happening, someone being hurt or something being broken. And yes, we're insured and this program is insured. But regardless of that, I think it speaks well of the character of our congregation, of us as a body of Christ, that we're willing to take on that risk and to reach others in our community. Just as an update, we're also close to completing the final stages of our basement renovation, and the new carpet will be installed sometime in the next few weeks. Our Sunday school will kick off on September 11th, and this will also be an opportunity for you to go downstairs and see some of the changes that have been made in the new area. Now, there are some folks that have just done extraordinary effort to make all of this happen. And they know who they are. I'm not going to steal their blessing by giving out their names. But I would like to thank all the members of our basement renovation team for all the work that they have done in responding to our work days and countless hours of painting and cleaning and all the things that have been involved. All these things are related to our topic this morning. Hospitality. In this reading that we just heard, Jesus gives a lesson for both someone wanting to host an event, a wedding banquet or a feast, and also for the people attending, those guests that come. And while the listeners to this story would have been very familiar with the protocol and how things were supposed to work at an event like this, as Jesus told this story, I can imagine a certain amount of discomfort and awkwardness creeping in to the people sitting around the table that day. Well, once again, Jesus has been invited by a Pharisee for a Sabbath meal. And you have to wonder, why do they keep inviting him? Because every story you read where Jesus goes to the home of a Pharisee, it doesn't turn out well for the host. These luncheons or Sabbath meals were often distinguished affairs. They were large. They would invite other clergy and distinguished members of the community to attend these. And the purpose was often to discuss deep theological issues, to talk about sharing and teaching and learning from each other about God's law, and then the numerous other laws and rules that have been implemented and adopted to ensure compliance with that law. And the scripture says they were watching Jesus closely. Why do you think they were watching Jesus closely? I think that given the similar circumstances that we've read about and studied before, we have to wonder about this. But I think that in all likelihood, they had invited Jesus to try to entrap him. Certainly, it wasn't because they liked Jesus. Last week, Jesus said, I referenced the scripture in Matthew where he told the Pharisees, he called them a brood of vipers, and told them that they would be lucky to escape the entrapment of hell. Well, that's not a real good way to make friends, is it? But no, I think they're inviting him so that they can watch him carefully and pin something on him and try to bring him down in the eyes of the people. But while they watch him, Jesus in turn watches them. And like his very own self-interested disciples, he watches as they jockey for position at the table and compete for the best seats, those with the most prestige and honor. Now, we may not think this is very relevant in our dining rooms today, but I can assure you this is still common practice, both in the military service and in the corporate world. Whenever we would convene, people would sit at the table in a certain order, and it was based upon their power, their prestige, their responsibility. In the military, it's easy, because the people with the highest rank, you just go right down. They wear it on their sleeves or on their arms, or shoulders, rather. In the corporate world, it's less obvious, but it still is, in fact, the case. And it's very clear from the way the meetings are conducted and run that this pecking order is very serious business, and you'd best not do anything to violate it. So Jesus sits and he watches. And when he speaks, he tells them that their behavior is indicative of their motives. And it's indicative of the condition of their hearts. Well, this shouldn't be news to us. Our behavior is governed by the condition of our hearts each and every day of our lives. For instance, do you become angry or easily offended when you perceive that someone has slighted you, has insulted you in some way? What do you think drives these emotions that we have? Well, I don't think it's because of the love of Christ that is within our hearts. I think it's because of the ego that we carry around with us. We have certain expectations of how we are to be treated, and when those don't happen the way we think they should, we get offended and angry. If we sense that someone is disrespecting us and not recognizing our position, then in all likelihood, if you're like me anyway, your blood begins to boil. And one of the places where this can occur most often, any guesses? The church. It can happen in the church. Well, there's probably other places too if this happens. And I'm thinking that this morning over on the fairgrounds might be one of those places. And I just pray that everyone is being patient and courteous. But I suspect, that after a long week of fried food and hot days and tired kids and parents, that's not really a good recipe for being considerate of others, is it? Thank you to those of you that came this morning. I know many of you have to move out yet, and I think you're doing the right thing. Come here and pray and seek the Lord's guidance, and then go over there and move out of the fair. So Jesus observes the people jostling for position, and he wonders out loud about their motives. What is it that motivates them? Well, I remember years ago when I was a small boy, my parents would sometimes go to church. We didn't go very often. I'm not even sure we were good Easter and Christmas Christians. But we would go every now and then. I even knew where the church was, so that was a good thing. But it was usually my mom that was kind of the driving force in that. And I can remember my dad didn't really want to go, and she would talk to him and persuade him, and eventually he would give in, and he'd say something like, well, maybe it'll be good for business. Well, I wasn't very old, just a little fella, but I knew that that was not a good reason to go to church, that it would be good for business. Well, it would be easy for us to think the same thing, that whatever motivations bring us. One of my spiritual models is the Reverend Dr. Will Willimon. He used to be a bishop in the Methodist Church. But he once told the congregation this. He said, maybe you are here with a bundle of mixed motives and conflicting intentions. But no matter, your possibly mixed motives for being here this morning, I believe that Jesus can meet you and teach you wherever you are. So you see, it really doesn't matter what brings you through the doors, as long as you come through the doors, and Jesus can meet you right where you are. You don't have to fulfill any checklist to come to church. You don't have to get up and say sweet words to one another as the children get dressed and prepared. You can come as you are, and Jesus will meet you here. Well, in today's story, Jesus points out to the Pharisees, once again, how their attitudes and their behaviors run counter to what God expects of them. Yes, they are being kind and generous by hosting a meal, but what is their real motive? Well, we've already learned that one motive is to try to entrap Jesus. But they will also, no doubt, invite those people that are important in the community, both the religious leaders and the community leaders. But worst of all, I think, is this expectation that they have, that when they issue the invitation, they are fully expecting something in return. They expect to be repaid in some way, either with a return invitation or a favor or something. Instead, Jesus tells them that they should invite the ones that can't repay, to give without expectation or condition. And for those invited, those that arrive, to take the lowest positions, not try to compete at the table for the seats of honor, but to humble themselves and to put others before themselves. As you try to get out of the parking lot this afternoon, remember those saying right there. Remember to zipper, right? Take turns. This is what Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven will be like, putting others before ourselves. Well, Willimon also explains, he says, I expect that at the table on that Sabbath Sunday, or Saturday, there were those who expected to have a pleasant, respectful discussion of spiritual matters, of theological ideas, uplifting and inspirational thoughts. But Jesus immediately brings the discussion right down to earth and puts matters related to their daily behavior on the table. He dares to make judgments not about their religious ideas, but about their earthly behavior as hosts and guests. Or should we say that he makes their behavior with each other, where they find their places at the table, whom they sit next to, whom they invite, and whom they exclude. He makes this a matter of spiritual and religious significance. Behavior is important. How we treat others is important. In the kingdom of heaven, those that think highly of themselves, that use their power and position and prestige and lord it over others, are going to be moved down the banquet table. And those that have been last, the broken and the oppressed, those that are the humble, will move up the table. In God's kingdom, you see, the rules are different. And the important thing for us to remember is that as Christians, those same rules apply to us right now. We should be the ones also inviting the people that others reject and that can't repay us for what we give. And our job is to give unconditionally. I read a story recently of a young pastor trying to lead a church that was in decline, serious decline. And for a while, he would encourage his parishioners, the ones that came, invite your friends, invite your family. See if they will come and worship with us and keep our church alive. But if they came, they didn't stay, and they couldn't grow their attendance or their body of Christ any through that method. So he tried something different. He was in despair, and he suggested something to his congregation. He said, rather than inviting the people that we know best, let's invite those folks that we don't know well at all. Our colleagues, maybe complete strangers, but people that we know are hurting, that are going through trials in their lives, that are facing difficulties and struggles. Suggest that they come, but not just to fill a seat. Let's offer them something. Let's offer them our friendship. Let's show them that we're interested and willing to share in their lives, in the pain and the struggles that they're carrying, and to help them through those difficult times, to walk beside them, to encourage them, as Jesus would with us. And the people did this, and the church survived and grew as a result. Well, as I read that, I thought about maybe we should be trying this as well. Not worrying so much about someone's status or how much money they might give or whether they're like us, but just opening our hearts and our eyes to invite those that we know are suffering, people that we know might benefit from hearing the Word of God, from being served by God's people. In the end, would this be a way for us to practice this hospitality that Jesus speaks of? To invite without condition or expectation, simply offering comfort and understanding instead. I think it's something that we need to pray about and think about. But I also believe that the hospitality that we're getting ready to demonstrate to the 14 or 15 new families that are coming is a good start for us. We are being given the chance, you see, to welcome and invest in the lives of people in our community, irrespective of whether they've ever heard of church, whether they've ever attended church, whether they are professing Christians or atheists or something else. We are being given an opportunity. Some of these people, no doubt, are struggling and hurting in their lives, and we don't even know how yet. But God has given us a chance to pull the seat out at the table, at the banquet table, and welcome them into our presence and perhaps demonstrate that kind of love that God speaks of in the kingdom of heaven. Let us all pray for this to be the case, shall we? Lord God, I just thank you for this day, for allowing us to have this opportunity to welcome people in our community and in the surrounding communities to come into our church building. Lord, may we be examples of your love, of your radical hospitality to them. May we be able to invite them and welcome them as part of our family. Lord, I want to lift up all those that are here today. Bless them, Lord. May they have heard something that means something to them. that they are able to take from this place. These things we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand and turn in your hymnals to number 403, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.